Okay, folks, my name is Frank Emsbach, which a lot of you know already. This workshop is really belonging to everybody else first. So, Sarah Schultz, Blog Tech Radio, The Sarah Schultz Show, is that right?
Blog Tech Radio.
Okay. John Anderson, who seems to be resistant as to how I should call him, but John has just finished writing rather a perceptive PhD thesis on a number of different media policy and issues that affect all of us, as well as being a radio producer for a long time, as one of the producers that helped us launch our Worker Independent News about 10 years ago. He was our Dow Bob person there when we did our economic reports, among many other things. And Patrick Waring is a producer at WORT. This morning you saw Norm, who is the operations manager there. Patrick is there, produces, and helps put on what? In Our Backyard, among other things?
Yeah.
In Our Backyard is our local community news that we do every day over there with a different team every day. 4 days on community news generally, and the fifth day is our labor news that we did yesterday. And he also is a reporter for Free Speech Radio News. Mm-hmm. And Free Speech Radio News, as some of you may know, is a national sort of news content provider. Essentially, Worker Independent News is on a more narrow focus. Theirs is a broader focus, but it's the same basic idea in terms of how do we proceed. So this workshop came about because we probably should have done it, should have thought of this anyway, but about 3 or 4 months ago, Sarah Weber, who's not here, but who some of you may have seen at our table, and I were at the Democratic Party convention actually selling our CDs here. And we talked to a whole bunch of people about setting up a website, which we had designed about 2 years ago, called the Forward News Network. And the idea was to turn that into a commons where everybody could participate and put on their content, for instance, content like this, or content that's written, or letters and event announcements, and a general discussion about what's happening in our state, and more importantly, what people are going to do about it. And our theory was that we would take that news and turn it into a regular 2 or 3 minute newscast with our producers, and distribute that statewide to radio stations. And at the same time, as I said earlier today, have people in the community groups we were talking with go to the stations in their community and ask to be played. So we basically unite basically social media, the web as a commons. Think about 1776, people went down the commons and got the news, you know, and it turned into the newspaper. So it's the same idea. It's not that we're that smart about it. But in the midst of all this, the Clear Channel talk radio here, the Progressive Talk, came to us and offered us this hour newscast. So all of a sudden, the theory, because it sometimes takes a while to get these things funded up and running and everything else, suddenly became reality, and the reality is October 1st. So that's reality, all right. So what we decided to do was say yes to their offer.
So and who is it again that offered this to you? I'm sorry.
Clear Channel, yeah. They own about 600 stations now, but about 2 years ago, they decided that they wanted one of their stations in some of their markets to be the home of Progressive Talk. And so you'll find that Tom Hartman and Schultz and whatnot are on a Clear Channel-owned radio station. And that's true here in Madison as well. One of the issues is local news. By the structure of commercial talk radio, it's not local. And it's also much more political. And it's not driven by the community. So the challenge is, in the midst of layoffs of thousands of people in the newspaper industry, and the elimination of local news, except for high school sports often, on radio stations, how can we, as concerned people, have a system that can provide local news, take in a wide net, have a like a web or something like that, which is what we've come up with, obviously, to where many, many people can come and learn and speak and whatnot without being censored by one of us. And at the same time, where we develop stringers and people who are more skilled at reporting, so it isn't just opinion, so it's a real good news story that many, many people can see, and at the same time make all that available through a whole range of technologies, including everything, and use the social networking. So we'll talk about that in more detail. So we have here this evening is a person who's developed Blog Talk, a radio program, which is on Blog Talk, right?
Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio, which is, you can get on the internet. That's the whole purpose of it. All right? We have Patrick, who is a programmer on WORT, which is community-driven, non-commercial radio here. It's a radio station. It's 25 years old now, or a little bit older, and it is driven and takes its lead from the community. John, who has not only studied this, but has actually brought into being various radio stations and content around the country, mostly in the Midwest. He spoke yesterday, was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Well, for those of you who wish to engage in pirate radio, talk to us later when we can't record it. John knows all about how do you bring people in and how do you project voices, because the whole idea here is to make sure people's voices who do not have access are heard, and to, in an environment like we're in, to connect it to activity, which is what Norm was trying to say this morning. There's a difference between saying, well, everybody should know everything. That's nice. It is nice. But it's also more important that we ought to know if our ox is getting gored, who's doing it, and what to do about it. So the radio, in our estimation, plays an activist function. So that's our discussion this afternoon. And I guess Sarah's thing is she needs to go on at 4, right?
4:30.
So we'll do, since it's 4:08, people talk for about 10 minutes. That'll work just about right. 10, 20, 25, whatever. So that'd be 4:35?
Yeah, about 4:30.
Is that good to you?
Perfect.
To be on at 4:35? 4:35
works great.
All right, so somewhere around there, then everything will work. So, John.
Do I start?
Yes. We're moving from the left to chaos here.
So I, being a radio guy and being a teacher, yes.
Your name is
John Anderson. I ran for president in 1980 as an independent and got one electoral vote. I am a country music star. I was quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. My parents have no imagination. I used to actually work in the corporate media. I was a radio journalist back when local radio news actually meant something. And I actually graduated from college in 1996, which was the same year that the Telecommunications Act of 1996 came down, which allowed all of this massive consolidation to take place in the radio industry. And little did I know it would basically involve the withering and dying on the vine of my chosen vocation. That was the thing that actually radicalized me. Socially and politically, and that's how I became a media activist. And what I'm going to talk to you today about is a couple of the projects that I've been involved in, actually a handful of projects since we've only got 10 minutes, and I'm just going to run through them really quickly, and after we do our little formal presentations, we can open up to Q&A and I can give you more details on this. But I've actually been involved in 5, starting 5 different community driven media organizations of some way, shape, or form, and I'm going to kind of go through them chronologically. There were 3 that I actually helped start here in Madison, and then there were 2 that I actually did during my graduate studies at the University of Illinois. It says in the program that I graduated from the University of Illinois Institute. It's the Institute of Communications Research, so that's the name of it. There's lots of institutes down there. Here in Madison, I actually, and all of these programs involved an online component. Here in Madison, I actually worked on 3. One of them was after I left my career in commercial radio news, I decided to start a pirate radio station. And as you may know, pirate radio is illegal. But it's also a very effective form of electronic civil disobedience. And if you have heard, has any of you here heard about low-power FM radio?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The whole low-power FM radio movement, the thing that kind of got that started, was a massive movement of electronic civil disobedience from a lot of different people around the country that took place in the 90s, which led up to the FCC considering this low-power FM thing. So I actually put a radio station on the air. It was called System P, and it ran on 87.9, which is not technically an FM frequency, but it works and your radios can hear it. It was a wonderful project. It was very personally illuminating. It was also a wonderful way of getting people to be demystified about how radio works. It's very hard to get access to the radio unless you know someone that works at a radio station or you're lucky enough to live in a community where there is a community radio station. And while we're lucky enough to have like WRT here in Madison, there's only 24 hours in a day. There's a huge demand for people that want to get on the airwaves, and therefore it's very difficult to actually get access in a lot of ways. So I decided that I would supplement what WRT was doing by running this unlicensed radio station. And it was successful to a certain degree. We got a lot of people involved. I got a lot of people turned on to the idea of independent media through accessing the airwaves, holding a microphone in their hands in a very informal situation. But it ultimately was not something that was sustainable because there wasn't a lot of community involvement. One of the reasons being is that it's illegal, and people have a difficult time getting involved in illegal activities, especially if you know you're an undocumented immigrant or something like that. I mean, you get involved with a pirate radio station, that's deportation in a nutshell. And so while it was very, very grassroots, like rhizomatically grassroots, it was something that, you know, did not have the sustainability to actually perpetuate itself. During the same time, Madison resurrected its independent media center. People in here familiar with Indie Media, the Indie Media Network? It's a network of websites that started basically around the anti-corporate globalization movement in the 1990s. And it was an open publishing system. It would kind of allow blogging before there was blogging software.
Indie Media.
Yeah. If you go to indiemedia.org, I-N-D-Y media.org, that's kind of the main page. And then various communities throughout the world have set up their own independent media center. So Madison used to have an independent media center. Urbana-Champaign has an independent media center. And that was a wonderful activity for things like protest coverage. The independent media center movement was built around protest coverage, and that was good for what we could do. We had the U.S. Conference of Mayors come here in the early 2000s, and Indy Media was all over that. The problem that we discovered with that is that we were in a town that kind of is saturated with alternative media already. So you have a community radio station. There was a newspaper back then called The Insurgent that was published monthly. We have the Isthmus, which is an alt-weekly. There was another newspaper called The Wisconsinite, which was an alt-bi-weekly. We had System P. And actually, the people that were involved in community media making were, how do I put it, tapped out. You know, it was very difficult to get people to maintain and sustain coverage through the Indie Media Network. And like I said, Indie Media kind of came out of covering protests. And it's very easy to cover protests because there's things happening. What do you do with a community-driven media organization when there is no crisis or no protest happening? This is something that in the profession of journalism we call enterprise journalism, which is you have to come up with your own ideas, develop your own story ideas, get the context, put things together. And that takes a lot of time and energy. And without being able to effectively coordinate that, the Madison IMC kind of withered and died on the vine and is now actually dormant. So I'm 0 for 2, I guess, as far as that's concerned. however, when I went down to, before I went to Champaign-Urbana, I got together with Frank and a guy by the name of John Hamilton, and we started Workers Independent News. And this is, of course, the longest running syndicated labor radio news show in US history. It's been on the air for 10 years. The way we've been able to maintain that success and to maintain what we're doing is that we run with very low overhead. We built our own studios, home-built our own broadcast quality radio studios, and ran with very little staff. I'm actually very surprised that Wynn is still on the air. I'm happily surprised because I kind of look at it as a kid. Because one of the constituencies which we thought would be very amenable to us doing this program, i.e. organized labor, has effectively refused to fund it. Which means that Frank has to run around like a chicken with his head cut off every single day, every single month, basically begging organized labor for $5,000 check here, $10,000 check there. Whereas if you think about how much money was spent in the recalls, for example, and this is not a dig on organized labor as an institution, this is more a dig on organized labor as far as leadership goes. If you think about the money that organized labor spent on the recall elections, if you gave 10% of that to Workers Independent News, we could have funded the program for 5 years. So we've been swimming upstream, serving a constituency which does not see the importance of exactly what it is that we're doing, which has led us to go after locals, union locals, and community organizations that were willing to give us money. But there's lots of ways to fill a bucket. You can fill it with a fire hose, or you can fill it with raindrops, and we're filling it with raindrops. And so it's a kind of almost a month-to-month situation, but it is still going on, and we do have legitimacy, and we do have respect, but not with the people that have the money. And so there, it's very important that, especially within organized labor, you kind of mobilize the people from the bottom and work up, as opposed to going from the top and working down, which is something that we had to learn the hard way. And then the other two things that I did, and I know I'm running along, aren't I? Okay. The other two things that I did were both in Champaign-Urbana. When I started down there as a graduate student, I began working for a media reform organization called Free Press. Is anyone in here familiar with that organization, Free Press? Okay, they run a national conference for media reform every 1 or 2 years. And they're pretty much the preeminent organization that's working in DC to formulate democratic media policy. And one of the professors down there happens to be involved with Free Press, and he liked what I did with Workers Independent News, so I started another nationally syndicated headline radio news service called Media Minutes. That was actually a weekly program that talked about media policy issues in a manner that was understandable by and actionable for average listeners. Media policy is a very difficult issue. It's very wonky. There's lots of angles to it, and my job was to boil it down into some sort of vernacular and show how there were points of action that we could do. That program is still ongoing. Free Press is still funding it. I'm not obviously doing that anymore because I'd rather be a teacher. I'm kind of tired of being a radio journalist. I thought I was getting out of that by going to graduate school. But one of the issues that we have with that is that while there's institutional support for Media Minutes, there is also a line that you have to toe being connected with a national organization that's involved in media policy. So suddenly politics becomes a driver of the types of stories that you do. And certain issues may be more newsworthy than others or may not. And that list or that priority level does not necessarily always jive with the policy directives of your sponsoring organization. So there might be something that's really important happening with, say, open internet, network neutrality issues, freedom of speech. But if there's some FCC policy making that's happening right now on some issue like low power FM, the organization is going to want you to cover that as opposed to covering something that may have a larger impact. Again, that's kind of a top-down thing as opposed to a bottom-up thing. And while it is still going on, it hasn't really been expanded. I mean, you could do a whole half an hour long program out of media policy issues, and we're only doing 5 minutes. And it's because, again, the institution finds it to be useful as a promotional tool, as an educational tool, but not something that they're willing to invest money in. Again, I think that's because it's missing that grassroots or community-driven response. And then the last organization that I was involved in was the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center. And unlike Madison, where we have a plethora of alternative and independent media outlets, in Urbana-Champaign, there's not very many at all. We have one community radio station and then the IMC. As opposed to Madison, where the IMC kind of withered and died on the vine, the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center bought the downtown post office in Urbana and has several organizations renting from them. And we also started a low-power FM radio station, a licensed low-power FM radio station, WRFU, out of that organization. And of all of the projects that I've been involved in, while that one does not have the largest reach of the ones that I've been involved in, it's the one that's actually maintained sustainability. And that's because it's actually grounded in an institution that's directly connected to the community that's it's involved in. So while people might not necessarily support radio per se, if they support the IMC, they're in effect supporting the radio station. If there were takeaways that I would say from any of this is that there's a positive and a negative. It's a very difficult balance between institutional affiliation, which gives you sustainability and can give you the support that you need to do, and the romantic notion of the individual becoming the media. If you focus too much on the institutional organization, you can become co-opted by the institution or your priorities change, which can ultimately diminish what it is that you're trying to produce. So you have to be very careful that you maintain a boundary between those who you are working with and autonomy that you have to actually put out the information that you need to do. And on the other side, Sarah can talk about this. She spends like 20 to 30 hours a week to do her radio show. And that's because she's doing it all by herself. And this is something that she finds to be very, very she's very, very passionate about. I'm sure we have bloggers in the room. Do we have any bloggers in the room? Okay. You spend a lot of time working on your blog, and it's something because you're passionate about. But you're also not getting paid. And we have to figure out a way so that we can actually focus some of this passion into some sort of sustainable method by which you can get compensated for your work, which then can perpetuate the continuance of the work that you're doing. So we can talk about this later once we knock everything down. Frank's telling me I'm going too long, but if you have any questions after this is all over, please feel free to ask.
So Patrick is next. He's going to talk about WORT and what community radio is, correct?
Yes.
All right.
How much time do I have?
Well, about 10 minutes. We want to do you, and then I'll say something, and then Sarah's thing is sort of scheduled for what she's going to do there.
Sure. So my name is, as you've heard, Patrick Waring, and I'm a...
Waring?
What?
What's your last name?
Waring, W-A-R-I-N-G, and I am the Wednesday night news producer for WORT Radio. And to understand what WRT Radio is, we're a community radio station that's been on the air for 35 years, not 25 years, as Frank said. You have to kind of understand what's the difference between private, public, and community radio stations. Now, private radio stations are owned by an individual or a company that is for profit. They own the station to make money. That's the primary reason why they have this capital. So that's where you get, and they get their revenues through advertisements. Those, short little 30-second whatever things about cars and other various, advertisement stuff. And so that's bad. Then you have public radio stations, which are funded mainly by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. They have their own employees that are hired by them and paid salaries. So you have these organizations that are essentially primarily government-funded media outlets. They do receive, company underwritings or, support from viewers like you, the PBS thing. But for the most part, they are professional staff that are producing content and then putting them out on these public radio stations. And then there's community radio stations, which are funded primarily from listener donations. At WORT, I think something like 60 to 70% of our budget comes from pledges from listeners. We do get a couple grants from the government, although that's kind of may or may not be happening in the future. And we do get some company underwriting, but the vast majority of our budget is from listeners. We really wouldn't exist without them. And I think that is the key distinction and the most wonderful part about community radio stations, especially community media outlets, is that if you have a private radio station, the news they put out is beholden to their advertisers. Their advertisers can say, I want you to put this out, say this, don't say this, and if they don't play ball, then they don't get funding. Likewise, you have a public radio station that is getting their money mostly from the government, and there's that kind of beholdenness to the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is claims neutrality, but there still is kind of a bent there. community radio stations and community media outlets are only beholden to the listener. Like, we don't get our money from anyone else. We don't have advertisers. We don't have companies that come in and tell us what to air or what not to air. All of our content is there because listeners want it. And that's a really beautiful thing. As far as Wart News, which is the company, the kind of wing that I work for, and In Our Backyard in specific, which is the evening news program that I produce, that's Monday through Thursdays at 6:30 p.m., 89.9 FM, there is a kind of a pros and cons to having this kind of community volunteer-driven news. Wart has 8 paid staffers and 500 volunteers that keep us on the air 24/7. Those 8 paid staffers, if they produce content, that's volunteer work. They're not paid to produce content. They're paid to keep the functioning of the station going. So anything you hear on the air at Wart is a labor of love. No one's getting paid for it. And if you have this community volunteer-based news outlet, it has some pros and some cons. The pros are kind of what I mentioned before. One is we're not really beholden to anyone. You know, we're just there to produce content that listeners want to hear, and to get them to give us money. And if there's something on the air that they don't want to hear, then they'll stop giving us money. So there's this kind of community mouthpiece element that's going on. Secondly, the other advantage of that is that it's made by people in the community. So we know better than anyone else where the community's interests lie. If you have some out-of-town reporter who's just coming into Madison and they want to know about local stuff, you know, they'll have to read up, learn on stuff, things like this. Our reporters come from the communities. They know what's going on in the neighborhood. They know what people are concerned about. They know what they want in the communities, and they know what other people want in the communities. They also have contacts in the communities, people they know. I spent a great, great, excessive amount of time at the Capitol during the protests covering that stuff, and I had a huge advantage over MSNBC or whatever other Fox News, whatever other media outlets in there, in that the people who were in the Capitol protesting it were my friends, my community, from my neighborhood. I walked into that building and I already had dozens and dozens and dozens of contacts who could keep me updated about what's going on and what's happening. That's an advantage that you won't find in any other news organization other than one that's based on community volunteers. And third is, I kind of said, like, it's got a lot of heart. It's a labor of love. But nobody volunteers at Wart because they have to. None of my reporters and none of my producers on Wednesday night are there because it's their job and they don't want to be there. They're there because they want to be there, and that is a huge, huge kind of spiritual advantage that we have. Of course, there are some downsides, and that is, one, we have volunteers. Is one, they're volunteers. They're not beholden to be there because of their job. We can't fire them. The news show is understandably kind of low on people's priorities. You know, stuff happens. They have jobs. They have families. They have kids. You don't have that reliability as you would have as a salaried reporter every day. So there are some days on Wednesdays when I have, you know, a dozen volunteers and I don't know what to do with them, and it's kind of this big party in the newsroom. And then there's some days when it's 3 people and I'm panicking the entire day. So you have this kind of back and kind of, you know, variability of reliability and attendance, basically. And the other kind of disadvantage is just skill level. You know, we're amateurs. People have various levels of understanding of writing, of technical skills for recording audio and editing. So the content is not always as great as it would be. Well, I wouldn't say, I mean, not that mainstream news outlets don't put out crap too, but sometimes you get things like that aren't as technically proficient or polished as you would see on a mainstream news network, just because of a skill level. But that is, on the flip side of that though, I can't imagine a better training session you won't find better training for free anywhere else to get into journalism than just by volunteering at your local community station and engaging in journalism. It's just on-the-job training, bam, like that. I walked into Wart News about 10 months ago. I had no journalistic training. I had never done journalism in my life. And 10 months later, I am producing the news shows and being paid to produce news pieces for a nationally syndicated program. That's a deal. You know, I didn't pay a dime. I didn't pay some school thousands of dollars. It was funny, actually, about a few months ago, I was invited to go talk at this meeting that the school, UW-Madison School of Journalism had, where they were trying to hook up their journalism grad students with local media outlets. Great idea. They should have done it years ago. And I was there to kind of drum up support for WRT Radio and tell them why they should get involved with us for all the aforementioned reasons. And what kind of ended up happening was I told a bunch of journalism grad students that they were wasting their time and money and that they should just quit school and just jump straight into producing content. I'm more of a journalist than a diplomat for sure. But if you're looking to get volunteers into your like local volunteer media outlet, that's one of the biggest selling points, is that you want to be a journalist? Just be a journalist. There's nothing to it. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have a piece of paper that says, yes, I am a journalist. If you produce content and then broadcast it to any number of people, whether it's millions or 100 or 2, then you are a journalist. And that's kind of the power of community radio. You can be what you want to be immediately. And I think I'm out of time, so I'm going to kick it over to Sarah.
Yes.
To ask, I'm ignorant of any kind of community radio in Milwaukee. Is there one?
No, actually,
no.
No wonder I don't know.
Give us another week, and we can have a better answer, maybe. Anyway, my name is Frank Emspach, and let me just give these out. Most people have seen these already, but for those who haven't, just I want to try to deal with this question here. We're trying to build community-driven media. We need to make it sustainable. We need to reach out to a community beyond ourselves. And we need to do it so that the content that people get is reliable, so that people can distinguish between nonsense and good, solid news that they can act on. At the same time, as far as I'm concerned, we need a system, in this case the web, that can bring people together in a commons, be the source of a lot of this news and contact, and in our view at this point be statewide because of the kind of challenges we face in the state, but have enough local content so that people are interested. So that seemed to be a reasonable agenda. And we are coming from all kinds of different places. The reason I'm handing out this worker independent news stuff is because in our opinion, as an organization, we said, well, how can we do this? Because we recognize the value of the news we do, and we also recognize limitations. Like all national news, particularly very short, it can only pick certain things, and is not as community-driven or as even rank-and-file worker-driven as we wanted for a whole variety of reasons which John alluded to. So what do we do here? What we're on the verge of, because the website we hope will be launched and functional in about 10 days, and the syndicated, that is distributed throughout the state, community newscast should be ready in about by October 1st. Okay, so the reason we think we can do this and the way this can come together is because we had our hub. We had the news studio that John described. We invested already quite a bit of money in building a web that can be transformed a little bit so that it can be more open, more friendly to users, have different levels of participation, and that costs some money, so we're able to come to people and say, we have this done, and we have experienced news people. John is helping out, but Jesse Russell, who you don't know, and Doug Cunningham, who's, if you listen to our voice, our thing is you've got the deep voice. He was the editor of the Wisconsin Radio Network here until I fired him for his coverage of the convention in 2004. He won the net. Mm-hmm. So he said, hey, a net was dropped on innocent people, so they fired him. So anyway, the point is that we see, the last criteria we had was that the template we build for the web And the template we use for the news can be used any place, like say Ohio or Pennsylvania. So a lot of development work is done, and all we need is people to go do it. The sustainability part is very important. A lot of people can get involved and do stuff for a long time. But people have families, people have to live. And so if we're going to be sustained, one of the things that distinguishes the union movement from other community-driven movements, such as where the unions came from initially, is that they collect dues and pay staff. Now, we all have a lot of problems sometimes with the staff that's being paid, but the fact of the matter is it's a system that's sustainable and has been sustained for over 100 years in this country in spite of a lot of problems. So the last part of this is try to find ways to both support and train reporters, or stringers as it used to be called, and raise the funds to be able to do that. So that is what we're going to try to do with our Forward News Network. The web can be the place that people can come and come together, but at the same time it must amplify, it must distribute, it must be open, and it must help bring people to the individual work that many of you are doing. And that work is being done in different technologies, different platforms. Lisa has one, where is she? So she does a blog, and Sarah does the internet radio, and people are on YouTube, and there's videos here, and there's people writing, and there's all kinds of other stuff happening. So you want to have the system so it can accommodate and distribute the content, at the same time work in such a way that we can, as professional journalists, more or less take some of that content, interview people around the state, and turn it into a daily 3-minute newscast. And the reason I've been harping on the daily is this: people's habits are that they turn on the radio and listen daily, usually. They rarely wait until Friday at 5:30 to listen to Labor Radio, I can assure you. But everybody listens to WORT here, a lot of people, for the news block between 5 and 7 p.m. It's the weekend, so we wind up at 6, and our show is the last one of the news block, and then the blues program goes. Because people are used to turning on the radio at a certain time. 40 years ago, you know, it used to be when the family sat down for dinner right beforehand, or when I grew up was a Lone Ranger at 7 p.m., you know. So the point is that people are in that habit. So if you don't have good quality, and you don't do it all the time, you often do not attract a broader audience. So there are a lot of different things coming into play here, but our sense in putting all this together is to be as open as possible, as welcoming as possible, and then go to the community and ask people to fund it. And I think our sense is if people are involved in the project and we can make the net really a home for people, then not only will we get the most valuable production and ideas and blogs and information available, we'll also get enough contributions and whatnot to be able to fund the web. Because when people look at commercial websites, which is in part our competition, if you go to your newspaper's website or your radio station's website, there's a lot of stuff on these. And approximately a third of radio listeners now go to the radio's website, instead of waiting 10 minutes for the weather forecast or something like that. So we have to have something that at least looks good anyway and is functional. And that's an investment. But our vision is that if we do this properly, we'll be able to bring in the local content, the thing that people really want to hear about their community, and be able to project that with enough time and enough vigor so that people listen. And this is sort of, let me just say one anecdote and then I'll stop so that Sarah can do her thing and show what she's doing. I was up in Prairie Farm, Wisconsin in May, right around Mother's Day, around May 6th or 7th. It's a beautiful weekend, Saturday, I think. And it was 65 degrees, spring had come. And so I went to this community center to give a little talk about this stuff, thinking that there'd be 6 people. So there were 45 or 50 people, and what did everybody want to know about all kinds of stuff? But what was so extraordinary to me is that 25 of those 40 people had come to Madison for these protests, right? And which is a word that they use. I call them rallies, And I say there's a difference because I'm not protesting anything, you see. I'm actually for something, like a new society. So I don't like to use the word protest, which marginalizes us. We have a lot of words, incidentally, in our little WIN organization with the, even though we're open, that the censor, that's me, and with agreement from everybody, we don't use, like union boss, all that kind of stuff. But in any event, what was extraordinary was six of those people were members of unions out of the 25 that went, and everybody knew somebody else. What they were really interested in terms of the news, because we talked about this, wasn't that there were 150,000 people here, although people were interested in that, but the interconnection between the closing of their school, which is part of what's on the agenda here, and the destruction of their community, which is what's going to happen if they succeed in closing the school. Well, you can think about that from the post office point of view, which is another thing that's a blow to small town Wisconsin, or the fact that the single largest reason that people lose farms in the state is they don't have medical insurance. Okay, now this all comes from the crowd, not because I'm some genius on public policy here, but it's that kind of news that if we can get out, generated in the way we're talking, that can help energize, maintain, and sustain our movement and provide a vision for the future. And that's how we sort of see all this community news coming together in the various ways that it can. They're all mutually supportive if we do this properly. And we will have now an excellent example of one of those types of ways of bringing news to people. Where is that?
I'm right here.
Okay. So, and we'll take questions after we do this. This is going to take about 20 minutes, you think?
Yeah, about 20.
Let me hand out the sign-up sheet.
Okay. We have a sign-up sheet going around. I'm going to pass this around, or you pass this around while I get everything ready. Can you hear me back there all right? I can project more. All right. Awesome.
The sign-up, there are pens. Everybody's got a pen.
So, my name is Sarah Schultz. I am the host of the Sarah Schultz Show. Thank you. Thank you. I'm on Blog Talk Radio. I do it every Saturday from 10:30 to 12.
You were?
And, Blog Talk Radio, it's on the internet.
Okay, Blog Talk Radio.
Now, we had a question. There was a question here earlier that was posed. How can we, where is our community radio station? Well, what do you do when you don't have a community radio station? I'm going to get to that, but first let me tell you why I'm here. How I got here, I should say. And I got here because everything happened in Madison in February. I went and I came in. I'm from Lake Geneva. I'm in Paul Ryan's area. We're really kind of red. It's the area where if you're a Democrat or liberal, you have your secret handshake so you all know each other. And I came down to the Capitol, and I started coming down as much as I possibly could. I slept overnight at the Capitol. I started talking to people. The big changing point was when I actually sat there and argued against the repair bill. At 3 in the morning, I did that. At 6 in the morning, as I was waking up, I passed a poor legislature who hadn't slept all night, and we talked for about an hour. And she was telling me everything that went on that had nothing to do with collective bargaining. And I went, oh my goodness. Started doing more research, really got onto the WEDC, and went, we gotta get this information out. So I started going, as I started going back to the rallies, protests, I started talking to people. And people, as I was telling them this, one by one, they were going, we didn't know this. And I thought, well, I can go down and talk to people, try to spend every day down there trying to hit every person, at 100,000 people rally, or I can find a better way to do it. A couple years back, I had gone to a media class, and one of the things they taught me was Blog Talk Radio. And I went, that's interesting, let's file that away. Well, I pulled that file out and said, this is the way I'm gonna get to people. It's not as easy, it's not as hard as it seems. It really isn't. So, no show of hands, a little bit of audience participation here. It's been a long week, we've all learned a lot. It's kind of a long day, and we're at the end of that. So just kind of yell out, how many people think it's just a little daunting to start a radio, to get on and be a host of your radio show? Just yell it out.
Yes.
Yeah. How many people do not want to talk in front of people?
Yes.
Yes.
Even if it's on a radio. How many people it's just too much. You hear the people on, and then you try to talk to people and explain yourself, and you're tripping over your words. You're like, I will go out and completely embarrass myself if I go online.
Yeah.
Come, a little louder, guys.
Yeah.
There, I know there's more of you. I tell you what, you just defeat that fear, because we're online right now. Okay? You made your first step. We are all hosts. of what's called the Democracy Convention right now. What you can't see, it because I was hoping to have a projector, but I will have my show studio up at the end. It's a little different, a little more going on. What you have is on air. It tells you how long you've been on air. It'll tell you how long you have to be on air. You have over here, you can upload audio. I'll keep it up so everyone can come on later. I'm sorry for the projection wasn't here. You could show where your audio is. You could show where the callers are. I have a chat going right now. People are up here. When they're in the chat, they can talk to you or they can listen to your show. All they have to do is call in.
Where are they listening? In their computers or what?
They could be. It could be on a computer. People can actually call in. You don't even need a computer. You just need my number. You need the number to our show, the Democracy Convention. People can call in on their phone and listen to our show on their phone. That's the beauty of it.
You can also listen to it online.
You can listen to it online. You can download
it's
it.
It's cheaper.
You can.
It's long distance.
Skype.
You could Skype it. If you pay a little more, it's free to start out. Pay a little more, you can Skype it. Or you can call in and you use, if you have unlimited, it's not a problem. If you have unlimited, you use your cell phone. If people want to call in, I have an 800 number that I got for my show. People have a landline, they just call in, put their phone on speaker. There's the show right there. What do you need to get started? You need a phone. That's all you need. You don't even need, as long as you have a computer, you have a phone, that's it. You call in, you set it up. Like I said, you can pick up calls. You can upload your own audio, you can have a chat going, and you have the time. Blog Talk Radio does everything for you.
Okay.
It's that easy.
What's your number?
For the
your
show?
Your 800 number.
My 800 number?
Mm-hmm.
I can give that to you at the end. I promise to give that to you at the end.
But so could you, for example, then interface with what you're talking about, these guys over here,
about
low power radio, so that people in here who are listening to a low power radio station could actually listen to your show through their radios? I mean, we're talking about radio.
Simple answer, I'm not sure. It should, because it's all internet based. So as long as the radio station itself can interface into the radio, I'm not that knowledgeable with that, but I can't imagine it not being.
We can answer that.
Yeah, we can.
They got it, so they'll answer more, but to tell you, it's got to be able to work because I'm talking to other stations to try to get out on there.
Okay.
So, but I'll let the technical guys do more on that. Thank you. See, that's why I do the show. I don't do the technical stuff. And there's a lot of different radio programs out there that does this. I like Blog Talk Radio because it's easy, simple, user-friendly, ready to go.
Do they have to accept you and give you a time? Or?
Yep. You set it up. You go in there and you set up your time. You go in there and you set up what you're talking about. You go in there, it's all that you just put it in. And you give them, you set up a paragraph of what you're saying, you talk about what you're saying.
And so the people search and become your audience if it interests them.
Exactly. Well, there's marketing ways. Now we're getting technical. I'm not going to get into the marketing. We'll talk about that in a minute because after the show, after our show is done, I'll go into a little bit of setup on the show. And then I'll link it back to why I'm showing you this and why it's so important for networks like Frank's network, like FNN.
Okay.
So, because once you start getting you more into the marketing thing, I don't want to lose people. That's why I'll get that. So, as it's going, and you'll hear it. You'll hear it talk to me as it's going. It makes it simple. They count you up to when you get on. They count you off to when you get off. And you have the on air, and you have the end episode, and they'll tell you, do you want to end your episode? You can, or you have an extra hour that you can blog on it. So you get off, you have your half hour. We have a half hour show right now. You get off of your show, you have an extra hour to continue talking. That's not online, but they save all your shows. They call it archive shows. You can download any of those shows, and when you download them, you get everything you got afterwards. So there's a lot of things you can do with this. This also allows you to hook up, the Blog Talk Radio allows you to hook up with iTunes. Blog Talk Radio allows you to hook up with WordPress. Allows you to hook up with Twitter. Allows you to hook up with Facebook. It allows you to hook up with all these different things so you can get out there. And all you have to do is click a button and set it up. There's nothing technical about it. It's that easy.
Can I hook up with somebody else who's not in my city?
Yes.
And do a co-show?
Yes. There's actually a show that I listen to called Unscripted with Mike and Jeff. Make sure I get the title right. They are two guys. One is in New Jersey. One is in New York. They set it up. They co-host it. And they have a couple other people on there. They've got great guests. And I think there's one time they were together. The rest of the time, they're completely separate. And so, yeah, you could have someone in California and someone in New York, and you could co-host a show. That's the beauty of the internet radio. And that's why, see, in Lake Geneva, we have one station. And they're owned by a Republican. They play music, so my chance of getting on is like, yeah. So, the only thing I have coming in, I don't get Madison other than streaming it. The only thing I get is Chicago. My show is strictly Wisconsin-based. I'm not getting on Chicago. I'm getting the word out. I'm going on the internet. So anyone who has internet access or can have a phone and get access to my show can hear what I have to say. That's really important because now there's places in Wisconsin that doesn't have internet access. You're talking to some of your working class families, some of your people of color, some of your poorer people of any color. They may not have the internet access, but almost everyone has a phone right now. So a good, cheap way to get out, and your basic to start this is free. You can do a show every other week, half hour show, completely free. You want to go up from there, it costs you a little bit, but the next step up is $40 a month. You could probably get donations, you could probably do car washes, sell donuts, something for $40 a month to get that.
Not quite sure I understand how it works. Do you
sure.
have to set up your own website or you plug
no.
into this one?
You go, all you have to do is sign into Blog Talk Radio. The website is blogtalkradio.com.
And then how do you ask for your slot?
Well, basically it'll say sign up to be a host. You click on that, you just fill it out. Like when you sign up for Facebook or
okay.
you sign up for your email, same sign up, same idea. You come up with a user host, they give you a website. And it's going to be blogtalkradio.com/ whatever you want. This one is / Democracy Convention.
I see.
Mine is / Sarah Schultz. It's all there. Now, there's a lot more technical stuff you can do with it. There's stuff I can play around with it. I'm not going to get into that because that's the most important thing to do is to get people out. If we can't have the people out there talking in independent media, we are not going to have an FNN network. We are not going to have these community groups because we don't have the voices. And it's the amount of voices. It's not only what's out there, but who is out there. Two voices may make a difference, but 30 makes a roar. That's why I'm showing you how to do Blog Talk Radio. We want those voices out. We want to get these networks out. We want to start moving together and working together because that's how we're going to really win our democracy back. Yeah.
Is this like the Skype where they used to sign on for different topics where people come on and participate? It's not the same because that's audience participation. Right?
This, well, you can't comment.
Repeat the question.
She asked if it was like Skype, that it's like almost like a meeting, right, where people kind of participate?
Sign on for different topics, you know, to take part in discussions, but that's not the same.
This is not the same thing.
Okay.
This is actually a radio show. This is, you can set up however you want, but people, instead of Skyping in, people call in. But if you're doing more of a conference like that, there are better things you can use that are cheaper. There's a lot of different things out there. If you want to do face-to-face and a bunch of people getting together, that would get out. There's other things out there. But if you want to do like a radio program, you want to set it up and you want to get people on. I mean, I've had panels on. You can have five people at once talking on this thing if you really wanted to. They're just on the phone. Once we're in here, like we are now, we run the show. No one else can sign in once you're in.
I'm assuming there are some basic technical requirements in terms of high speed. If you're working on a dial-up connection, you're not really going to use one.
Probably not. I have not tried it on a dial-up. It should work on DSL, though. It'll definitely work on high speed. If you're going to do a dial-up, though, you just call in with your phone. All you need is to get the screen up. There's been times, Blue Cheddar, when she did her show, she was just on the phone. She didn't even have the internet in front of her. She didn't even have it on. You just need to go to a library and set it up. and then you write down your number, because it gives you a number, and it gives you a code, and that's actually right up here. It says host right here, it'll say host calling, and again, when I'm done, and when we're done, you can come and look at it, and it gives you the host PIN. And all you have to do is call it, put in the PIN, and you do it within 15 minutes of your show starting, and you can do your entire show from like Zimbabwe with your phone if you wanted to. So.
But so, if people are calling in to listen to your show,
yeah.
Do you need a separate phone number if the same listener wants to say something to you or engage in a dialogue with you, the radio host? Do you need a separate two phone numbers or
no.
How does that work?
It's actually really cool. Blog Talk Radio has given you the sign-in as the host. Then you give out another number, and that number itself is the call-in number for your show. Now, when people call in, there's two things they say. They say you can listen to the show. Actually, I think they actually say one thing. They say if you want to be on the show, press 1 to get into the host queue. So when you call in, and that was a really good question, actually. When anyone calls in, the phone number will come up here. If they want to listen to your show, there's nothing that comes next to it. And as a host, you'll see that. If they call in and want to ask a question, there's a little yellow what's that shape?
Triangle?
It's diamond. Diamond. No, it's two triangles. I was getting it. Diamond with a question mark in the middle, and it's yellow, so it grabs your attention. And then they have a question. So you know the difference between people who are listening to it and people who really want to get into it.
Okay.
And when they call in, you can't see it here. There's a little red button. It says you're on. There's a button next to it that says, if you press it, it has blue and a slash through with a microphone. You're mute, and the next one is screen. I'm not even going to get into that. So the important things is on and mute. So when your guest asks a question, you mute them, you allow the other guest to answer. Really, really easy. Yeah.
Okay, so you're getting into this. What happens? So the guy's talking away. Can you hear? Does the machine also give you a time per that call in?
Yes.
Okay, this guy has talked this much of your show, you've got 10 more minutes to talk.
Yes, it tells you how long they've been on hold. You hear that? We have 90 seconds left before the show's over. And you'll hear it count down. This is great. This is so user friendly. When they're on hold, you'll see how long they're on hold.
Yeah.
When they're talking, you'll see how long they've been talking. When you put them back on hold, you see how long they've been back on hold.
And how long you have left also?
That's right on top here. It's a big button that says on air.
Okay.
I have five minutes left because I started 45.
But John Hess can answer some of those questions.
Shush.
All right. While it's counting down.
Oh, I see, because we're on the air.
We are. I was finishing up the air. I was going to go afterwards.
By all means.
That's all right.
By
we're
all
getting.
Means.
Are my producers cutting me off? It's all right. I got it. We've discussed now how easy it is to get on air. I'm going to give you 6 simple tips on how to actually get your show. Now, with that sign-in sheet, if you, I'm staying in Madison. Since I'm from Lincoln, I'm staying in Madison. I only printed out 1. If you want me to email this to you on the sign-up sheet, make a little star next to your name, and I will email this information, okay? Because I want you guys to have it. So I love this program because now it will count you down. It'll tell you exactly when you go off the air.
Like aliens.
It is.
Where's the sign-up sheet?
It's right there. I think there's 1 on each side. So let me get to this first. Okay, it's right there. All right. The first thing you want to think about is, what do you want to do? I'm going to have my sheet up in front of me, so I should probably put it down. Oops, no. What do you want to do? This is the idea behind the show. So you want to formulate what you want to do. The reason my show takes 20 to 30 hours a week is about 5 of it is for production, actually putting the show together. The other 25 is actually keeping up with the news in Wisconsin. So I decided to have a full show in Wisconsin. I have to keep up with Wisconsin. You want to do a show on civil rights? Your show focuses on civil rights. You want to do a show on what's going on with the federal deficit? You do a show on a federal deficit. Get the show down. Let me get through this because my producer really wants me to get done. Sorry. The other thing is, you want, when you go to go online, you want a script or an outline, unless you're really good at winging it. If you wing it, great. But if it, especially when you start up, trust me on this, especially when you start up, you're going to want to have something you want to read. I actually have a copy of my outline I used for my show this morning. If you want to see it, you're welcome to look at it. It's got all my notes on it. But that's the way I do it because I'm a little anal. You could do it however you want. Be prepared, because especially if you have guests, you try to get what you want, what you're going to talk about, but you want to make sure you have an idea of what you're doing, because it's your integrity that's out there. And you also want to be prepared, because there's times where, like, you get kicked off of Skype. There's times where I'm going to end the episode now, because we're recording in blog, so let's end the episode. Do I end the episode? Yes, I do. All right, and then blogs, Skype.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Oh, I love that accent.
Oh. There we go. There we go. We just got up. The other thing is that I have songs that I have uploaded onto my studio, because there's been several times I've been kicked out, and all of a sudden people are like, oh, it's blank here. Well, I can put a song on while I get myself back on. Or your guest doesn't call in, and now you have to be like, oh, I have 10 minutes to kill. I will sing a song for you. So be prepared for anything to happen that could happen, will happen. I promise I'll get to you. I promise. Time. When you put your show together, be wary of your time. Everything is based on time on the radio. You'll hear that from the guys. You know, Ed Schultz will say it. Norman Goldman will say it. Tom Hartman, you've got 40 seconds. They are time. True, it really is true. So make sure when you put your script together, you're thinking about time. When you do interview, you're thinking about time, and watch your time as you're up there. Be fluid. Allow the show to morph, because you put it in a rigid, you're like, this is how it's gonna be, and that's it. And you get on, and that idea doesn't work on radio. It was really good on paper. So you kind of be flexible when you do it. If your show will take on a life of its own, be flexible, be a little, allow it to go. Just say, this is the idea, let's see how it goes from there. You just go with the flow. And the last thing is, allow your listeners to guide you. They will tell you what they like and you don't like. If most of your listeners are saying, I don't like what you just did, or like someone said, less tinfoil, more cap to me one time, well, I know that, okay, I'm gonna make sure that other guest was on a little more, because that's what they're asking me for. How do you build listeners? You gotta have them listen to your show first. So follow your listeners. Simple, easy, get out there, get the voice, because that's what builds our Forward News Network. That's what builds the radio stations. That's how we can get independent and citizen journalists to get out there and have their voice.
Hey, terrific.